Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the December 2010 issue of Boys Life magazine. Our first article is from Letters from the Readers, and Pedro answers his reader mail. Dear totally awesome, sweater-wearing, sweater-rearing Pedro, I was sitting on the couch waiting for a TV program to come back on when the ball came through our slot. I picked it up. Just junk bills, junk. Then I saw Boys Life. I started reading it. And wow! After I finished it, I loved it. Boys Life is the best. And that's from Benjamin Goldberg in Dallas, Texas. I don't know what to say, Benjamin, but my mailbag feels lighter somehow. Thanks. Dear Pedro, I went sailing, and even after a few days, I still feel like I'm rocking on the boat. It's a crazy feeling. Does your burrow head get this same feeling after you've been out on the water? That's from John Dean in Carlsbad, California. You need to get rid of your sea legs, matey. I get lightheaded sometimes, all the time, according to the boss. But boats, burrows, don't mix well, John. I'm a dry land donkey. Hey, Pedro, your magazine is great, and I have all my issues because they are packed with information. I was wondering how to get my water bottle clean when I remembered seeing how to do it in Boys Life. Keep up the good work and treat yourself to the cantina more often. That's from Daniel Weavag in Bethany, Connecticut. The boss says if I hit the cantina more often, I'm going to turn into a mail blimp, Daniel. I guess I can then deliver by airmail. Hello, Pedro. I have a question that is right up your alley. Do you know of any good Mexican restaurants near Philmont? That's from Corey Alexander in Lousenburg, Wilmington, Delaware. I don't eat Mexican food, Corey. I'm a salad bar kind of burro. Have fun at Philmont, though. The chow there is pretty good. I must have spilled some alfalfa milkshake on this keyboard. Again. Dear Pedro, my brother gets Boys Life, and I find it rather demeaning that girls are not included. In spite of this, it is one of my favorite magazines. You should keep your eyes open to the fact that girls such as I read this magazine as well. From Drummer Queen in Naperville, Illinois. Whoa! Put your sticks down, Drummer Queen. PL is the magazine for all boys, but we know girls enjoy reading about all this cool stuff, too. Glad to hear you like it. This pesky keyboard. Dear Pedro, why don't you and the boss come over for snacks and barbecue? We'll play video games and kick back for a few hours. That's from Daniel Lopez in Ivanov, Hodgson, Georgia. I'm touched by your offer, Daniel. But the boss and I don't socialize, if you know what I mean. Plus, I don't think I could get the time off. If I don't haul the mail, who will? Dear alfalfa milkshake drinking, eraser biting, purple sweater wearing male burro, I was wondering why the boss calls you lazy when your picture is on almost half the pages of the magazine and he is rarely on page. That's from Travis Kapp in Camden Town, Missouri. The boss's mug is never on a page, Travis, but my handsome smiling. Right, boss, I'm on the job. Oops, he always looks over my shoulder when I make a wisecrack. I'd better turn into a fuzzy purple flash and then clean this keyboard. Okay, Pedro, our next article, News and Notes. That's on page 10. Wheelie Amazing. Great Britain's Aaron Stanage, 14, set a Guinness World Record for longest bicycle wheelie in 1 hour. On January 17, 2010, he rode continuously on one wheel for 8.17 miles, obliterating the previous record of 1.5 miles. Riding a standard mountain bike, Aaron listened to his favorite tunes as he cycled more than 94 laps on an indoor track in England. Aaron, who grew up in a family of stunt performers, trained for 6 months before his ride. He said the support of family and friends kept him going. Of course, it has a little picture here, not really of Aaron, but a cartoon of him doing his wheelie. 8.4 miles. Take a ride. The Fusion Land Shark combines the best of scooters and skateboards. This kneeboard comes with a dual handbrake that lets you keep things in check while having a blast. Last-minute giving. Donating to charity is as simple as online shopping. Go to boyslife.org/links/goodshop, where you can search more than 700 top online retailers such as Target, Apple, Macy's, and Best Buy, Barnes & Noble. Support our soldiers. Give our troops a boost in three easy steps. 1. Purchase a $10 Best Armed Forces Friend bracelet. 2. Register your unique engraved number online. 3. A soldier serving overseas will get an identical bracelet with the same engraved number, and the two of you can connect on the web. 25% of each purchase goes to the American Freedom Foundation, which supports our troops. Get started at boyslife.org/links/BAF bracelet. All right, now let's go to Jenny and Steve. Ask us anything. Page 12. I play two instruments, which is really stressing me out. I like playing both, but I feel as if I should cut back to one. Everyone tells me that I'll be thankful later. What do I do? Should I drop one or just grin and bear it? Jenny, what everyone tells you is right. You'll be thankful when you're older. When I was your age, I played violin and piano. It totally stressed me out to practice two instruments, so eventually I quit both. What a mistake. Make a list of pros and cons of playing each instrument, and put your time and energy into rocking out on the one you're most passionate about. Steve, music should be fun, not stressful. Play your favorite instrument more seriously, and continue with the other one recreationally. You can always switch around later. Is popping your knuckles really bad for you? If so, why is it so hard to stop? Jenny, according to the Johns Hopkins Arthritis Center, there's no evidence that cracking your knuckles causes arthritis, the most common and serious concern. But some studies show that if you crack away nonstop for many years, you might damage ligaments, which can lead to reduced grip strength later. So, health-wise, it's not a huge deal. The bigger reason to stop, it probably drives your friends and family nuts. Steve, that's a reason to stop. Sounds more like a reason to start. I used to play with my cousin all the time. Now he just ignores me and plays with my sister. I tried a bunch of things, but nothing seems to work. Please help. Jenny, it's totally normal to go through phases when you're particularly close to one family member or another. My guess is that your cousin isn't purposely ignoring you. It's just that he has a lot in common with your sister right now. As your interests evolve and change, the roles could reverse and you and your cousin become best pals again. Sit tight. Don't get frustrated and keep in touch with him. Steve, when I was 11, I had a similar experience with a couple of friends who sometimes seemed more into hanging with my older sister. My solution? I invited them over when she was busy or not at home. I found that when it was just me, we had a blast. If that doesn't work with your cousin, play with your other buds. They might be more fun anyway. All right. Now the perfect climb, pages 16 and 17. New York Boy Scouts find ice walls that are slippery, shifty, steep, and great fun to climb. gazing up at a 65-foot high wall of craggy, slippery ice formed by water that froze as it was cascading down a mountain, members of Troop 1 from Lewisboro, New York, wondered if they could ever make it to the top. "I hadn't seen ice walls that huge before in my life," says 17-year-old Eagle Scout Stephen Bauer. But any doubts about how they would conquer the ice were dispelled as they learned more about what they were getting into. 10 scouts took part in the ice climbing program offered last winter by the BSA's Westchester Putnam Council in the Adirondack Mountains near Lake Placid, New York. Through a series of orientation courses, they got used to the freedom and challenges of ice climbing and learned how their gear, including boots, crampons, and ice axes, would help them create holes in the ice and summit and not only the 60-foot wall, but later an even steeper 100-foot ice wall. They learn how to attach crampons, which have tooth claws, to mountaineering boots and how to drive the crampons and curved axes into the ice to make holes. I was expecting something more like rock climbing, where you have to find your hand holes and foot holes, says 17-year-old Eagle Scout Ben Bergstrom. It turned out you have to make your own foot holes with the crampon. You have to kick it into the ice and use your axe to make hand holes. Go your own way. Creating holes meant the scouts could make their own paths up the ice. Changes in temperature between day and night keep the walls melting and freezing and reforming in different ways. You could go up a wall 4 times, and every time it would be a different experience, Ben says. The scouts' first climb on the 2-day trip was on a bright, sunny day against a backdrop of blue sky and a temperature of 30 degrees. I was just wearing fleece, says Matt Waldman, a 15-year-old life scout. We got pretty warm. You have to adjust to the conditions. The ice could be hard and brittle or soft and slushy. The ice could crack beneath you, or you could hit snow that wouldn't support you and you had to find another hole or dig deep to get into the ice. No one made it up the ice walls without taking a fall, which was fine because the scouts had support from a belay system at the top and bottom of the ice. Matt once slipped when the ice crumbled beneath his foot. It was kind of a feeling of desperation to get your holes back, but there was someone there to catch you, he says. The scouts wore helmets and goggles and were attached to the belaying ropes by harnesses. Their guide stood at the bottom to shout instructions to the climbers and made sure they did not fall more than a few feet. When they reached the top, the scouts rappelled down. It has pictures of them, and here's one. Ice climbing isn't authorized Boy Scouts of America activity for older Boy Scouts, varsity scouts, and venturers. You can climb glaciers, frozen waterfalls, or in this case, cliffs and rock covered with ice. And of course, it has a picture there of one young scout doing his climbing in a beautiful snow-capped mountains. And then it has one where it looks like he's taking a tumble. Continuing, Volkswagen. As part of the training, the scouts also learned different ways to tie belay rope knots. Now, if we ever got into some kind of emergency, we could do it ourselves, said 17-year-old life scout Brendan Kelly. Another hazard of ice climbing is the screaming meanies. That's when you have a death grip on your axe and all the blood rushes out of your hand, says Ben. And when you get back down and all the blood rushes back into your hand, it really hurts. The guides told us to keep wiggling our hands and to take breaks. The scouts also warned to call out when they broke off pieces of ice. If you broke off a golf ball-sized piece of ice, you were supposed to say, "Ice," so people would know not to look up. Ben says, if you knocked down a piece the size of a Volkswagen, you were supposed to scream, "Volkswagen," so all of Lake Placid could hear. On the second day, the boys hiked about a quarter mile across a frozen lake to reach the 100-foot wall. The day was colder. The wall was in a shaded valley, and its glassy surface provided a more difficult challenge. The top section didn't have a lot of natural holes, Matt says. You had to stretch a lot to get a hold or make your own. Reaching the top gave the scouts a sense of exhilaration that come from conquering a new challenge. You looked around and you could see the mountains and the forest, says Matt. The reward was amazing and breathtaking, and it was great that we got to experience it with other scouts. Scout Program, Wilderness Survival, Fired Up, pages 28 to 31. Don't wait until it's too late to practice your fire-building skills. There is a chance that someday you could get lost in the wilderness. And if that happens, there is a chance that you'd need to build a fire to maintain body warmth, melt snow for water, dry out clothing, or signal for help. The time to perfect your fire-making skills isn't when you're stranded in the wild. It's right now. Start by collecting tinder. Find dry materials that will easily burst into flame. Collect about 2 handfuls of something such as pine needles, the inner bark of dead branches, dried grass or slivers of wood shaved from a stick with a pocket knife. Then create a separate pile of kindling, larger chunks of material that burn hotter and longer but need a little encouragement. Look for twigs about the size of a pencil. Finally, collect some fuel. Dead and downed wood no bigger than your wrist that you can feed the fire over time to keep it burning. It's especially important to learn the art of starting a fire without using matches or lighters. What if it rains and your matches get wet? What if cold temperatures ruin your butane lighter? Turn the page to find out how to light a fire using a magnifying glass, friction or flint, and steel. Scouts whose troops choose next month's suggested program theme, Wilderness Survival, will learn how to be prepared should they be presented with a survival situation. Leave no trace fire site. Even in a survival situation, try to avoid harming the environment when building your fire. Look for a spot from which a fire could not spread and where the surrounding area would not be damaged. No matches, plenty of heat. There are 3 ways to start a fire without the help of matches. Each can be effective and all take lots of practice, but they're actually pretty fun to learn. Here's the first one, flint and steel. You can buy ready-made flint and steel fire starters from an outdoor supply store on your local scout shop. But if you happen to find yourself without one, try getting a spark by scraping the blade of your pocket knife against a piece of flint, a hard gray rock that fractures easily. Form your tinder into a nest about the size of a softball. Hold the flint just above the tinder and try to direct your sparks into it. Nurse the spark into a flame by blowing on it gently. Add kindling and fuel as needed. Magnifying lens. On a sunny day, it is possible to focus enough sunlight through a curved lens to actually start a fire. You can try eyeglasses, camera lenses, magnifying glasses, or the lenses from binoculars or telescopes. Hold the lens so the sunlight goes through it onto a point in your tinder. Then wait, and wait, and be patient. It might take a while, but the tinder will eventually smoke and then burn. Of course, it has a picture of young boys experimenting and actually completing this task. Fire by friction. In the old days, scouts used to start fires all the time with a bow and spindle. You'll need several elements to try this one yourself. Bow, any curved piece of wood. Bowstring, use a piece of nylon cord or a shoestring. You can also use a cord from a tent, pack, or tarp. Spindle, a piece of dry hard wood. Hand block, another section of hardwood. This one should have a depression carved into it to fit the top of the spindle. Fireboard. A piece of soft wood. The fireboard must have a notch whittled into it that will hold the spindle. Place some tinder under the notch. Twist the bowstring around the spindle, then hold the spindle upright with the bottom and the inside the notch in the fireboard. Use the hand block to hold the spindle steady and move the bow back and forth, twirling the spindle and creating friction as it rubs against the fireboard. Ideally, the friction will create enough heat to light your tinder. The right fire lay. Prep your fire site the right way to increase the chances of getting the wood to burn. Start with a big loose handful of tinder right in the middle. Arrange sticks at kindling around the tinder. Once you create a spark or get smoke from your tinder, feed with kindling until you have flames. Then add fuel to get the fire roaring. Our next article, how about some scouts in action? Page 40. This is a true story. Connor Weissman, 13, and a 5-year-old boy were on a ski lift at a resort in Brumley, Vermont, when the boy accidentally slipped beneath the safety bar and began to slide out of his chair. Connor grabbed him to stop him from falling. Connor started yelling for help, but no one heard him. The boy lost his grip on the safety bar, but Connor didn't let go and kept calling for help. I see a picture here of Connor holding the boy and both of them just looking distressed and nervous and scared. Well, a snowboarder eventually heard Connor and told the operator to stop the lift. Connor kept a firm grip on the boy for several minutes until the ski patrol arrived. When the ski patrol was ready, they told Connor to let go. He did, and the patrollers caught the boy without injury. Second-class scout Connor Weissman, a member of Troop 432, chartered to veterans of foreign wars post-1672 New Milford, Connecticut, received an honor medal with crossed palms for his actions. It is scouting's highest award for bravery. And of course, it has pictures of the snowboarder telling the operator of the ski lift to stop, and then how they let the young man go into the arms of people who were there to save him, and a picture of Connor receiving his award. Good job, Connor. All right, our next article. One big action-packed party. Page 26. There was plenty to do at the best ever, most exciting, fun-filled, safest jamboree ever. There were plenty of fireworks at the 2010 National Scout Jamboree last summer. From start to finish, there was nonstop action, from mountain boarding to shotgun shooting, from mountain biking to scuba diving. And that doesn't even include the actual fireworks show that concluded the big Saturday night 100th anniversary arena show. More than 43,000 Boy Scouts, adult leaders, and staff came together at Fort A.P. Hill in Virginia as the Boy Scouts of America said goodbye to its first 100 years and goodbye to the site that has played host to the Jamboree since 1981. Among many other things, the Scouts got to ride down a hillside while standing on a skateboard-type device with bigger wheels as they perfected the art of mountain boarding. They got to perfect their aim at the shooting range with 12-gauge semi-automatic shotguns and other firearms, and they got to try their hand at rappelling, descending backward down a man-made wall more than two stories high. There were 100 merit badges to work on and a boys' life exhibit where they could play video games and meet Pedro. With messages from Dirty Jobs, TV star Mike Rowe in person, and President Barack Obama, who appeared in a recorded video, the Scouts at the Jamboree not only celebrated the past 100 years, but also looked forward to the next 100. The next Jamboree, scheduled for 2013, will be held at a brand new Boy Scouts of America high adventure base called the Summit, Betchel Family National Scout Resort in West Virginia. And now let's go to Think and Grin. Greg. Knock, knock. Chris. Who's there? Greg. CIA. Chris. CIA who? See? I ate your last donut. That's from Nathan Williams in Saginaw, Michigan. Isaiah. Where do cows buy their stuff? Colin. I'm stumped. Isaiah. In a catalog. That's from Isaiah Christman in Jamestown, Tennessee. A book never written. A Perfect Day for Sailing by Wynne D. That's from Adam Schrenkler in Arden Hills, Minnesota. Kyle, how did the two snails settle their differences? Tommy, tell me. Kyle, they slugged it out. That's from Kyle Starost in Durwood, Maryland. A Book Never Written, The History of Laughter by Chuck Ling. By Chuck Ling. That's from Michael Clinton in Marietta, Georgia. Dave, what do you call a happy herder of cattle? Dan, I don't know. Dave, a jolly rancher. That's from David DeMuth in Dayton, Ohio. A Book Never Written. Deep in Debt by Owen A. Lott. That's from Jonathan Binn in Seagrove, North Carolina. Principal, I hear you missed the first day back to school. Ronald, yes, but I didn't miss it very much. From Adam Kinnan in Tallahassee, Florida. Dad, where's your report card? Son, I don't have it. Dad, well, where is it? Son, my friend borrowed it. He wanted to scare his parents. That's from Bryson Drummonds in Belton, Missouri. A Book Never Written. Tell Me Now by Alex Plain Later. Alex Plain Later from Grant Carsden in Louisville, Kentucky. Pedro, what does a fox call a rabbit? Woody, beats me. Pedro, fast food. From Max Banks in Fort Collins, Colorado. Kyle, what did the farmer use to measure his sheep? Lyle, I haven't a clue. Kyle, a wooler. That's from Kyle Funderburk in Stark, Florida. Definition, breakfast. What a driver does when a slight suddenly change, when a light suddenly changes. Break fast. Okay. That's from Lucas Hasenmeyer in Evans, Georgia. David, why was the candle failing school? Val, I haven't a clue. David, it just wasn't that bright. That's from David Valdez in Hermitage, Tennessee. A Book Never Written. Different Types of Lockers by Dave E. Jones. That's from Joey Jepson in Providence, Utah. Emir, what bird is always out of breath? Eric, beats me. Emir, a puffin. Emir Boatwright, Honolulu, Hawaii. Warren, what do you call a fly with no wings? Lauren, I don't know. Warren, a walk. That from Warren Munger in Firth, Idaho. David, why did the bird go to the doctor? Blake, beats me. David, for medical treatment. And that from David Valdez in Hermitage, Tennessee. Noah, knock, knock. Jonah, who's there? Noah, howl. Jonah, howl who? Noah, how you know unless you open the door? And that's from Noah Berthusen in Waukee, Iowa. Matthew, why did three pigs run away from home? Luke, I have no idea. Matthew, because their father was a boar. Matthew Williams in Harrisburg, North Carolina. Greg, knock, knock. Brad, who's there? Greg, Adelia. Brad, Adelia who? Greg, Adelia the cards, and we can play gin. That from Greg Stein in El Dorado Hills, California. Stevie, did I tell you the peanut butter joke? Mark, no. What is it? Stevie, I probably shouldn't. You just spread it. That's from Stevie Bowman in New Prague, Minnesota. Pedro, who can drive all their customers away and still make money? Dead boss? Who? Pedro, taxi drivers. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading. I am John Ivy, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, until next time.